I am so excited to begin this service with believers' baptism, and I'm so grateful today that Robert Scruggs comes to be baptized. It was my joy this past Friday to speak with Robert on the phone, and he shared with me what God has been doing in his life and the changes that the Lord has been making. And Robert was baptized in eighth grade, he shared, but he said now it's more real, and there are things that he just gives God all the glory for that he's done in his life, and pray that his baptism will be a testimony and a witness to others who need to make this same commitment. Robert, we're so proud of you, and I ask everyone to enter into these waters as Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Upon your profession of faith in him, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. God, we give you praise for this awesome day. Lord, we celebrate with Robert and Tammy, his family, and loved ones and friends that are here. And Lord, for the things, exciting things you're doing in Robert's life, we pray this would be just the beginning of a continued long love relationship with you. We pray if there are others here today, God, that need to make that same commitment, that they would not let this day pass them by without coming to you and accepting you into their hearts and asking for forgiveness of their sin. So, Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would continue to bless this service. And Lord, may we commit to pray for Robert. May we commit to pray for these precious children that are going to be coming up in a few minutes and their families. And we just ask that everything we say and do today may be glorifying to you in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
The shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. Even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of wisdom, I won't turn back, I know you are near, and I will fear no evil. For my God is with me.
Spirit. Let's give it one more time for our children.
That's just a little taste of tonight. Our children's musical is at 6 p.m. You want to make plans to be here. I've had the opportunity to see it about three times, and it is absolutely incredible what Miss Mary and her team have done. Aren't you thankful for Miss Mary Rainwater, our children's director? So thankful for her. Well, good morning. It's so good to see you, Forks family. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. What a way to celebrate with believers' baptism and our children leading us in worship. And we've got another exciting thing coming up. Will you stand for me for a moment? I want to welcome those online and those visiting with us this morning. Your honored guests, thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. I'm going to have you take a moment, greet somebody around you, and tell them how happy you are to see them this morning. May be seated, church. Be seated for a moment as Miss Mary joins us on stage for a baby dedication.
Good morning. My name is Mary Rainwater, and I have the privilege of being the children's director here at Forks of Elkhorn. We are so excited that not only did you get to hear, like Sean said, a preview of our musical for tonight, but we also get to join in a baby dedication today. And I'm not sure that there's any greater privilege than for us to join with these families who are choosing to bring their children before the Lord this morning. Parents, we're so honored that you have chosen Forks of Elkhorn Baptist Church as the place to dedicate your children. It is a privilege that we do not take lightly. We're so grateful that you're here. One of my favorite stories from the Gospels, it's one that's probably familiar to many of you, out of the Gospel of Matthew. You know, Jesus always had crowds around him. He was always busy doing things. And Matthew tells us in chapter 19 about some parents who brought their children to the Lord. And the disciples at first tried to discourage them from coming. But Jesus, in Matthew 19:14, said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he goes on to say that when he finished blessing them, then Jesus went on about his way. And I just love that picture of the heart of Jesus, that children meant something to him. Children were special to Jesus. And he didn't say that when they grow up, the kingdom of heaven will be theirs. He said the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these, even now. And so I know that children are special to the Lord. Parents, there's no greater gift you can give your children than to point them to Jesus, because it has eternal consequences. The love of Jesus will never leave them or forsake them. And so that you're here this morning to start their life off on a path towards Jesus is just the best decision you could ever make. And I'm thankful that our church follows after the footsteps of Jesus and valuing children. I can tell you that the prayers that our faithful congregation prays for our children are felt daily and weekly. And I see the results in the lives of these precious children. And so thank you, church, for being a church that also values children and supports them. And so parents, again, we're just so honored that you've chosen to stand before God and commit your children to him here with us at Forks of Elkhorn Baptist Church. As I read the name of each child, I invite you to come forward and join us on the stage. Colton Clay Bowman. Amelia Lorraine Pulliam. He's not able to be here to be dedicated, so we invite you to join us in praying for her. Kinsley Ann Wissman.
Guys, if it is your intention to present this child and to pledge yourself to bring him or her up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, please answer, "We do," to the following promises. Do here this day recognize this child as the gift of God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessings. Do here this day dedicate this child to the Lord who gave him or her. Do you hear this day pledge as parents that you will bring up this child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you hear this day promise to give this child every possible benefit of home, of school, of the church? Do you hear this day ask God's blessings upon his or her life to guide, guard, and direct him or her through all of his or her years? I'm going to invite the congregation to stand at this time, if you would. We are called the family of God, and therefore we are extended members of these families, and they will need us as well. Therefore, I ask you, church body, will you encourage and support these families as they raise these children to know the love of Jesus Christ? If so, please reply, "We will." May we pray together. God, we come to you on this beautiful day, dedicating these precious gifts from you to you. Lord, we pray that these children would grow to know you as their Lord and Savior one day, that you would walk with them and talk with them along life's way. Lord, that you would bless their fathers and their mothers with godly wisdom and counsel as they teach their children your truths. May we as a church family pledge our love and support and prayers as we see these children grow in their faith and prayerfully one day to know you again personally. May these parents take these vows seriously and keep these vows of commitment as they are the primary caregivers for these precious gifts. So, Father, we just love you and we're grateful for them, and we ask your blessings to be upon them both now and forevermore. In the strong name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Let's show our love and support to these precious babies. Bless you all. Thank you all so much. Bless you.
Good morning. Once again, it's so good to see you this morning. Remain standing as we worship together. There is joy in the house of the Lord. Don't you believe that this morning, church? Amen. Oh, yeah. It's going to be good. It's a good day to be in the house. Let's sing this together. We worship the God who was.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging seas. My God, he holds the victory.
Yeah, come on.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
together. He's the one who heals. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause he hung up on that cross and he rose up from that grave. My God.
Joy in this house, let us sing to the one all of our joy belongs to and who gives it to us, the great God above. Let's sing this great hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee. Fill us.
Praise him this morning. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Praise the Lord that we are giving him all the glory and the honor and the praise that he so deserves, and the only one that deserves all the glory and the honor. I pray that you felt the presence of the Lord as soon as you drove into the parking lot. And certainly felt his presence when you came in, and the joy of the Lord that's in this place. I'm so grateful every week there's an opportunity, if you feel led by the Holy Spirit, to come to this altar and pray. Kneel. You can stand. You can pray from your seat. Those watching online, wherever you may be, that can become your prayer altar. But God is so good, and I want you to know that God loves you today, and he promises to be with you and me no matter what we're going through. Some of you are here today, things couldn't be sweeter or better in your life. Some of you, things couldn't be worse. And you're crying out, asking for his hand to be upon your life. Wherever you may be in your life, whatever season you may be going through, I invite you to come join me at this altar. As we lift up our prayers together, would you come pray with me today? May we pray together. God, we come to you today with praise and thanksgiving, shouts of joy, because of what you're doing in this place and in the lives of your people. Father, we come with humble hearts asking that you would lift us up. Father, I want to lift up folks not only at this altar or people praying from their seats, but people praying, God, all over the state and all over, Father, the country right now. And we ask, Lord, that you would meet us where we are in our praise and thanksgiving, in our heartache and pain, in our grief. God, we lift up people who are grieving today. We remember Connie and Cliff Camden and the loss of Connie's mother, that you would comfort this family. May they feel your presence and your peace. Father, I pray for so many that are going through health issues right now, recovering from surgeries, facing surgeries, going through treatments. We're grateful for medical advancement, but we know, Lord, you're the great healer and the great physician. And we pray, if it be your will, to heal completely so that you would be glorified and people might be saved as a result of your divine power. Father, I just pray for families that need healing today, for marriages that need healing, for relationships that need to be reconciled, for addictions that need to be broken, for depression and anxiety that needs to be lifted. Oh God, we just pray in every way that you would be in control of our lives and that we might keep in step with your Holy Spirit, never running ahead nor lagging behind or getting out of step. Keep us in perfect step with you. Father, we continue to pray for our leaders. We pray for our military, for your blessings and protection and guidance upon them. Keep them safe, we pray. Lord, we continue to pray for revival and spiritual awakening, that it would begin in our hearts and spread throughout our country and even our world. So, Father, we are humbled again by your love, by your grace. And, Lord, if there are others here today that need to give their heart and life fully surrendered to Jesus, may today be the day of salvation for one or for many. And, Father, they too might, like Robert, my brother in Christ, would follow through with believers' baptism, again, continue to bless him as he continues this walk of newness of life. And I pray for others, Lord, that we all would strive to walk the way you would have us to go and live the way you would have us to live. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you and glorify you and ask that you would continue to move through this service. And we're grateful again for the precious babies that were dedicated. Bless them and their families as they grow in wisdom and in truth. And I pray in favor with God and man. And we'll just praise you for the great things you're going to do in their lives. So, Father, we just ask now that your Holy Spirit would continue to move through the music, through the message, through the messenger, and, Father, through our time of decision, that commitments would be made for Jesus. For it is in the strong and holy and powerful and precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. What a great day this is to be in God's house, and so glad you're here. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 22? And we'll begin reading in verse 34, and afterward the choir and instrumentalists will be coming to lead us in a special song, and we'll be in prayer for you all as you lead. Begin with verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." This is the word of the Lord, and blessed be the name of the Lord.
Is God.
Church that he's blessed us with. I always like to share a little humor at the beginning of a message to get you ready to hear more important things. Maybe you heard the story about little Johnny was not too excited about his new baby brother because all he had been doing was crying and screaming all the time. So little Johnny asked his mother, he said, "Where did we get him anyway?" And his mother said, "Well, Johnny, he came from heaven." And he said, "Oh, now I know why they kicked him out." Little baby dedication humor for you there. Last week, we began a sermon series on experiencing God, knowing and doing the will of God. It was based on a discipleship study that was written many years ago by Henry and Richard Blackaby and Claude King. And maybe you're like so many people, and even Christians, who long for an abundant life, but you feel like you can never find it. Or maybe you're here and you've been wanting God's will, but yet you don't know how to find it. And we learned through this study that there are seven realities to help us experience God in a whole new, fresh way. Last week, we learned that God is always at work around you. So we know that our spiritual eyes have to be open to see that God is always working, even when we don't recognize or even when we don't realize what he's doing. God is always at work around us. Today, we come to the second reality that I pray we would take to heart. God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. That God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. I pray that we would all desire to have a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me share you, as God's will is concerned, we will never know the will of God until we know Jesus Christ personally. You're going to try every which way to find out what God's will is, but until you know Jesus personally, intimately, you're not going to know what God's will is. So I pray that before this service is over, you might come to know him personally if you haven't met him yet. But so you say, how are we to begin love relationship with Jesus? How does this happen? What does this look like? First, we need to understand that he pursues us. He pursues us. God created us to have a love relationship with Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Henry Blackaby said, a love relationship with God is the most important single factor in your life. Did you hear that? A love relationship with God is the most important single factor in your life. God is the one that initiates this love relationship. Throughout the scriptures, the scriptures testify and witness the fact that God pursues us and wants us to experience him. Remember how God came to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? You know, the first two people, God created that special bond. He fellowshiped with them, and they with him. They had a love relationship. All through the Old Testament, We see how God came to Abraham, how God came to Noah, how God came to Moses, how God came to all the prophets. In the New Testament, we see how God came to the disciples and he chose to have a love relationship with them. How God came to Saul on the road to Damascus, who would become Paul, and they had an intimate love relationship with one another. And then we know he pursues us. Remember, after he did have that love relationship with Adam and Eve, do you remember that Satan came in the form of an ancient serpent, and he tempted Adam and Eve to eat that tree in the middle, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God had said, if you eat it, you will surely die. And you remember what they did. They ate it, and they broke that love relationship. And in in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "And the Lord God said to the man, 'Where are you? I've shared with you.'" That was the first game of hide and seek. Because after Adam and Eve disobeyed God and that relationship was broken, you know this story. They realized they were naked and they were ashamed and they went and hid. And they went over to hide behind a tree or a bush. And some of you are here today and you realize that you've broken that relationship and you've been hiding. Maybe not behind a tree, but you've been hiding behind something or someone else. And you know you haven't been living the way you ought to be living. But aren't you glad to know that our loving Father pursues us? When we mess up, when we make mistakes, he loves you and loves me anyway. And he pursues us because he wants us to come back and have that relationship the way he intended it to be. And you know how we can do that? Through Jesus Christ. We learned last week in John 14, 6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus made a bridge over death and our sin so that we could have that relationship. In 1 John 3:16, we get the definition of love. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And he pursues us on a daily basis. We know in Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and that person, and they with me." So Jesus isn't going to kick the door down, but he's a generous, kind God who waits for us to open the door, but he pursues us. But not only does he pursue us, he draws us. If you look in John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father draws them." So we know it's through God and through the power of the Holy Spirit that we are drawn to have a love relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Henry Blackaby shared a story about a man that was a member of his church years ago. He said this man had difficulty in every area of his life. Maybe you can relate. It said that he had difficulty in his personal life. He had difficulty in his family life. He had difficulty in his professional work life. He had difficulty in his church life. And even one meeting at church one night, this man got so angry that he yelled and he stomped out of that meeting. And just a short time after that, Henry Blackaby went to this man. He said, "I would like to ask you this question. How would you describe your relationship with God? Could you sincerely say that you love him with all your heart?" And that man said, "I've never been asked that before." He said, I can tell you that I worship him. I can tell you that I serve him. I can tell you that I fear him. And I could even tell you that I try to obey him. But he said, I really can't say that I love him. And then the truth came out. He said, you see, I had a father that never told me that he loved me. And he said, as a result, I didn't really like my dad. He said, I feared him, but I didn't respect him. And he said, my image of God, the Heavenly Father, I always saw a picture of my dad, my earthly father. And it caused me that pain that I could not have with my Heavenly Father. Well, Henry Blackaby listened, and he told the man that our Heavenly Father is so much more than our earthly father. And even if you had a bad relationship with your earthly father, you can have a perfect Heavenly Father, and he loves you, and he pursues you, and he forgives you, and he tries to show you every day how much he loves you. Well, this man came to understand God's love and forgiveness, and he was set free from that picture he had of God, the Heavenly Father, and he was able to live a productive Christian life without all the difficulty. First things had to be first. He had to get his love relationship with God in the right place. What about you? I shared this at the early service, and this is a great reminder on Baby Dedication Day, and really a great reminder for all of us. Dads, you need to tell your children you love them. Mothers, you need to tell your children you love them. And not only need to tell them, you need to show them. You know, some people say, you know what, that's just not our family. We don't really tell each other we love them. Then you break the cycle and you start telling them you love them right now. I embarrass my grown children by saying, come over here, give daddy a kiss. My son was like, dad, get off me, you know. Don't ever be ashamed. People say, it's just not who we are. Well, thank God that he helps us be what we need to be. And so I challenge you to tell, if you have children, I don't care if they're grown and married with kids or your grandkids, you not only tell them you love them every day, but you show them. And the greatest blessing parents you can give is to show them how much you love the Lord and how much you love your spouse. That's a great witness to a watching world of what real love looks like. So I challenge you to do that. He pursues us. He draws us. Secondly, I pray that we pledge ourselves to him. We pledge ourselves to him. In our scripture that we read today, I've challenged you all to memorize scripture through this series. Last week, I had you to memorize John 15:5. And this isn't a pop quiz. You're not going to get a smiley face or a check mark or a gold star, even though it meant a lot to me back in the day. But if you memorize John 15:5, you want to say it with me? And those of you watching, you can say it too. And again, this is a memory verse that was out there on the table. We have some extra from last week. And we have today's verse on this card if you want to pick one up when you leave. No pressure, just opportunity. But John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And the day is out of Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 38. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And I'm going to challenge you to pick one of those up. I enjoyed having people trying to recite that to me this week. People sent texts. They had them in their car in front of their speedometer. They had them placed on the refrigerator, but it's always good when we can take God's word to our hearts, because it's living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. So I hope that you'll commit, and maybe even to help children memorize the word of God. But the way we pledge our love to him is through our obedience. And John 14:15 says, if anyone loves me, then they will obey my commandments. The way we show him we love him is by obeying his word and obeying his commandments. John 14:21, whoever has my commands and keeps them or obeys them is the one who loves me. And it goes on to say, and he will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. So we must obey. Obedience, I've told you, isn't a burden, it's a blessing. It's a privilege that we obey. And I'm going to throw this in there too. Children, you're supposed to obey your parents. Amen. And we read in Ephesians, we read in Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So we are to obey our parents, and we are to honor our mother and father, that it may go well with you and that our days may be long on this earth. And I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. And so we are to pledge our love by obedience. But then secondly, by giving our time. I had a minister years ago that shared this in a message. I've never forgotten it. I've shared it with you. I've shared it with others. How do we spell love? T-I-M-E. The way we spell love is time. And the way we let God know we love him is by spending time with him. How are you going to have a love relationship with God if you never talk to him? If you never learn anything about him, or if you care what his interests are? Many times we're guilty just going to God when we need something. We need to walk with him and talk with him every day. I've told you, I jog through my neighborhood throughout the week, and I pray with my eyes open. And look, I even pray out loud. And again, my neighbors think there goes that crazy guy talking out loud again, but I'm praying. Enjoy this beautiful weather. If you're physically able, why don't you spend some time walking and talking with God? We should have a daily quiet time with the Lord, whether that's in the morning. And I shared at the early service, I know if you're like me, if you can't do it at the beginning of the day, maybe you can do it on your lunch break. But if you wait till bedtime, this is how this is going to go. You're going to be in bed reading, and next thing you know, it's going to be... That's what happens when I've tried to wait till bedtime to do it. I wake up in the middle of the night with drool down my face and the Bible open on my chest. So you don't want to probably wait that late, but have a quiet time with God, whether it's in the morning or during the middle of the day. And this is for students too. Young people, don't be ashamed to have a quiet time with the Lord. What a beautiful way to begin your day, by having that intimate relationship. Not only do we spend time with God, husbands, wives, husbands, if you're married, one of the greatest blessings you can give for your children is to love your spouse as well. Spend time. How are you going to develop a relationship if you never spend any time together? Same way, parents with your children. I don't care what it is. Spend time with them in some way. Let them know you love them. We get so busy taking them here, taking them there, doing this, doing that, that we don't have any quality time with our children. Spend time with your children. And then one of the greatest blessings we can give our children is by showing them the importance of being in God's house to worship. I mean, I'm amazed at how many times I see parents break their back trying to get little Johnny and Susie to every practice, every sport, every dance, every recital, all this. But when it comes to church, it's not that important. If it's not important to you, it's not going to be important to your children one day. So I'm challenging you to show your children you can still be a part of all the sports. And we need Christians on sports teams to be witnesses. And you can use it as a platform. But may it never be more important than a relationship with God. And may we show them the importance of this is eternal and everything else is temporary. Our relationship with Christ should be number one of importance in our lives. Everything else should be secondary. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. So I close by sharing this story with you. Henry Blackaby went on to share about a man he knows and knew in Brazil. This man's father was an alcoholic. His grandfather was an alcoholic. This man, too, was an alcoholic. He had neglected his duty as a husband and as a father and spent all of his money on buying liquor and drinking with his friends. That was what dominated his time. And so even his wife and his children feared him, but they didn't respect him. And so this wife was desperate for hope. She was desperate for love. She was desperate to find, as she would work so hard to provide food, meager meals for her children because her husband was spending all their money. They lived in pretty much a cardboard hut or shack. And so one day she was invited by a neighbor to a Bible study. So again, this wife, this mother was desperate to find hope and love. So she went to this Bible study. And while she was there, God began to touch her life. And she found about how much God loved her, and she asked Jesus Christ to come into her heart to be her Lord and Savior. Radically transformed her life. She shared with her friends at the Bible study about her husband. They began to pray for him. He wanted no part of God. He wanted no part of a Bible study. But they continued praying until one day, and you've heard this said, or maybe you've experienced, he hit rock bottom. He hit rock bottom. And once he hit rock bottom, you know what he found out? That God was there waiting for him. That God loved him. And so, as he hit rock bottom, he then began to go to this Bible study with his wife. He, too, accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and he gave up the drinking. He broke the cycle that had been passed down from generation to generation. And he began to share Christ with his friends, led all of his friends to Jesus. They started coming to Bible study with him. The Bible study grew so big, they had to start a second group, and they asked him to be a leader. That became so big, they had to split it off again. And then, because he wasn't spending all of his money on alcohol, they were able to save up enough money to buy a little brick home to move his family into. And then, after that, they started going to the church that had sponsored these Bible studies. And as of the writing of this book, it was 12,000 strong. And this man began to witness to all of his neighbors at their new home, and all but one neighbor came to Christ. And then he and his wife started doing marriage seminars together. And his young adult children began singing on the worship team at church. And this man whom they used to fear and didn't respect, they now loved and respected. Why? Because he got his house in order with the Lord. What about you? I'm telling you, life passes by so quickly. And the devil wants to lie to you. He's a liar. I tell my children all the time, he is a liar and the father of all lies. Don't listen to the lies. But you listen to this. God loves you. He's pursuing you. And he's not going to stop until you receive him. So if you've been running from him, it's time to stop. He knows where you're hiding. And just come to him as you are. Sin, brokenness, mistakes, because all of us have made them. Just fall into his arms. And he will love you, and he will forgive you, and he will give your life purpose and meaning. Aren't you tired of running? Aren't you tired of hiding? Come to him and rekindle that love relationship. And I promise you, you won't regret it. That's a promise. It will be the greatest decision of your life. May we pray together. God, I pray right now in the stillness of this moment, if there are any folks here that have never given their heart and life to Jesus, may this be the day of salvation for someone. May someone be willing to pray a simple prayer to say, "Dear God, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. Save me, Lord, I pray. I love you, Jesus." Lord, I pray someone could pray that prayer today. Man, woman, senior adult, child, teenager, anyone that you're drawing right now, God, and pursuing. Lord, I pray for some Christians that have lost their passion, their zeal. Their relationship with you has become dull and monotonous. Rekindle the flame. Spark, God, newness of life and excitement. The same joy Robert had after his baptism to shout praise. Father, I pray for people that have been looking for a church home. We are a field hospital for the sick and hurting. We are fellow strugglers along the way. But what a beautiful place where we can come and support one another and love one another and cry together and laugh together and encourage one another. Oh God, I pray some people looking for a place to call home might come to this imperfect church to find a perfect guide through Jesus. So, Father, give us the boldness and the courage to come, to never be ashamed of the gospel. We thank you for paying the price so that we would not have to. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand if you're in this place. If you're watching at home, you can pray to receive Christ. And notify us, and we'll pray with you about your decision. But won't you come as we sing together this beautiful hymn of commitment?
Hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power in thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim, I'll it's white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Much for being here today and allowing the Spirit of God to be in this place. What a great day to have believers' baptism and dedicate these precious babies. We had a couple other babies at the early service we dedicated, and just exciting to see as God is blessing these families with His love and blessing this church family with His love. I hope you'll come back and worship with us again, even tonight. Our children, you got a little sneak preview of the musical they're going to share tonight. You don't want to miss it. 6 o'clock tonight, bring a friend and come celebrate and show our love and support to these children that have worked so hard, and Mary Rainwater, who's worked so hard with them. When you're leaving, these memory verse cards are out on the round table. And if you want to pick one up, take them with you. Memorize God's word. Again, there's no test. I might ask you to say it with me like today. I may not. I may call you in the middle of the night and ask you to say it, but whatever, just have them handy there. It's always great to have. I hope you'll come back and worship with us again. Don't forget about all the activities. There will not be coffee and connections tonight. We'll be here. I think the youth are going to be in here as well tonight, aren't they, or not? Going to Dairy Queen after. There you go. Get some good music and some ice cream. It'll be a great time. You don't want to miss being here tonight. Sean's going to close us in a song, and then Kim Tillett, who's our Deacon of the Week, will be coming to close us in prayer. Thank you all for being here. Don't forget how much we love you, and God loves you even more. Bless you as you go from this place.
Let's sing this great hymn together. Joyful, joyful, we adore Thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before Thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this beautiful day, and Lord, the opportunity to come into Your house and worship and praise Your holy name. We thank You for the message that You have shared to us through Todd, and Lord, we've received the light. Let us carry that light out into a dark world and share Your love. May our lives glorify Your name. In Your holy name we pray. Amen.